Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I'm going to strip you of your dude captaincy. I'm going to deny you all of your manhood.
Damn.
And I'm going to humiliate you publicly. And best of all, I'm going to tell the media before I tell you. Damn. How do you like that, dude?
I knew I shouldn't agree to this podcast time.
Oh, there's dysfunction in Sharks Land, baby.
There certainly
is. This is not a good start, dude. This is a pretty bad start.
You think?
It's like, I'm trying to think of who the most dysfunctional, it's sort of like a Boardwalk Empire family.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, the mom is shooting people up with heroin and stuff.
Right. I'm going to pretend you're my son. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Drowning him in a bathtub. This is sort of like how the season has started for the Sharks. Very Boardwalk Empire.
It's true. I'm trying to think of
August Osage County.
Yes, August Osage County. Excellent analogy there, dude.
Eat the fish, Patrick Marleau. Eat the fish.
Yeah, and Tom McClellan or Doug Wilson says, "I'm running things now." All right.
Well, unfortunately,
that's for all of our Broadway play fans. Or
no, that's for you, Scott.
Yeah. Something for him every
unfortunately,
week.
Unfortunately, the listeners might be able to tell this week we are unfortunately not together in the Dudes on Hockey studios. I am at home with a beautiful child who has a chest cold.
Oh, bummer. Light.
And Mike is in the home base, Dudes on Hockey, beautiful studios. So we have some stuff to talk about, though. We can't go this week without getting together, as the Sharks have gone public, dude. They've gone public. They have stripped the captaincy of Joe Thornton. They have stripped the A off of Patrick Marleau. They have stripped the A off of Dan Boyle by refusing to resign him.
Right.
And they have left the leadership positions officially up for grabs, dude. Thoughts?
That part was not surprising. The manner in which it happened, I'd say, is borderline shocking. As you alluded to in the cold intro, the Sharks managed to release this information without actually informing the previous captain prior to the announcement. So Joe Thornton, at least according to him, had no knowledge, heard from the media first, that there was going to be no automatic assignment of the captaincy going into training camp. And he had to figure that information out directly from David Pollock or somebody else. And so it's certainly not surprising. I think, you know, after all of the speeches that were made to the media about how the leadership group is going to change, they're going to hand this team over to the young players, I don't think anybody was super surprised that, you know, might be a change in the captaincy. But the way that this happened, dude, is, I mean, they really bungled this, right?
Yeah, and it certainly makes you question, does the dysfunctionality go beyond the locker room where all the fingers have been pointed and extend down to the coach's room? Like, how does Todd McClellan not get this right, where he says he wasn't able to communicate this effectively to Joe Thornton on the phone, was basically what he said, that Joe didn't get the message. Is Joe some sort of big, dumb idiot? Like, is he, you know, walking around saying, "Baby Ruth," you know? "Baby Ruth." Like, he doesn't get it? There's no way he doesn't get it. The conversation didn't happen, period, dude. I don't think it happened, period. I think he screwed up.
Yes, or he said it in such vague terms, no reasonable adult would take that to mean, guess what, we're stripping you of the captaincy right here and now.
How are you, why, would you say that in vague terms? This is not shocking. Joe Thornton has to have been expecting this for the last 3 months. Right?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think that, you know, obviously what follows from here on out is pure speculation on our part, but it could have been a little bit of willful misunderstanding on Joe Thornton's part and a partial lack of stones to come out and say it directly. Listen, you're no longer the captain of this team. We're putting it up for grabs for everybody. It certainly sounds like Todd McClellan didn't say that, right? He probably said something like, hey, we're going to turn the ownership over this team over to the younger players, and hoped or expected or thought that Joe might understand exactly what that meant, and Joe didn't, you know, or thought, hey, you know, maybe this isn't the way it's going to go.
The most laughable part of this whole thing is that T-Mac is even implying that maybe by the end of training camp, Joe might be the captain again.
Yeah, that is flat out ridiculous. And if it turns out that way, this situation is so much worse than I thought.
This is like a terrible, like, this is like a Three Stooges movie, but not like an original Three Stooges movie, like the bad Sean Hayes, like Three Stooges remake. This is how bad this is right now. It's embarrassing. Like, this is the tone that has been set by the coach and by management, that we can't even effectively tell our veteran players that they're not the captain anymore. And so what is that going to be like, dude, in the next few weeks as training camp starts? What's that going to be like?
It's going to be exceedingly awkward. I clearly there's already a chilly relationship between these two parties, right? We haven't heard anything from Patrick Marleau. Maybe he's just, you know, going to Six Flags and, you know, playing miniature golf.
I've seen him at Happy Hollow.
Throwing frisbees to, you know, cute dogs. We don't know anything about that. But at least from a Joe Thornton standpoint, and from, you know, the tweets that we talked about several episodes ago from his brother, his agent, John Thornton, I wouldn't say that there's a whole lot of dinners being shared between Joe Thornton and the coaching staff, or Joe Thornton and the management. So this only succeeds in further chilling that relationship, and is certainly going to make for some fun media fodder and an interesting, awkward mood going into training camp.
And if things weren't already awkward or lousy enough, dude, the news of Rafi Torres's infected cadaver ligament.
Yeah, yeah.
Meaning that
he has to start over, I think, is what I read.
Had to remove the graft, and now they've cleaned out the infection, and they're going to have to do the surgery again. So Rafi Torres is essentially lost for at least the first half or two-thirds of the season, and I think we have to just plain old assume that he's not going to play at all this year.
Right. And I think we further has to assume that his career is, I mean, what do you think the chances are of him actually resuming anything approaching his previous ability as an NHL player?
Gosh, it'd be so hard to count out a guy who's such a gamer like he is. He's going to give it a shot, but we've seen what happens when these guys, he's not old, but he's not young, and he's been around the block. He's got a lot of mileage on those tires. Dude, I mean, I'd give it a 70% chance, just because, and that's probably higher than you'd give it, just because I think he's such a gamer that he's going to try and fight his way through it. But I don't think we're going to see him this year in teal. And that's terrible news.
Yeah. I think Bo Jackson tried to fight his way through it too. You know what I mean? I put the chances of Rafi Torres resuming his NHL career similar to the ability he had previous to the injury as under 50%. I think that, you know, this is an injury that has put many, many careers in jeopardy and has ended others. So I don't think that there's a great chance of Rafi Torres coming back for sure, especially since this is the second time around. You know, obviously the odds weren't awesome. You know, everybody was hopeful before. I'm downright cynical at this point about Rafi Torres. I don't, like you said, I think the chances are fairly slim that he's going to be back this year at all and back as the player he once was. Of course, I want that to happen, but man, this is not good news.
I mean, I think if you can take any comfort in something, dude, it's that when Rafi Torres was out there playing in a painful leg, he still was scoring goals, you know, right, in his comeback last year. So maybe he's going to have to remake himself as a little bit of a player. I mean, remember, this guy was like a top 10 draft pick in the NHL. He has a lot of skill that has gone maybe underappreciated because of his style of play. So maybe he's going to have to kind of remake himself a little bit and be a little less thunder and a little more skill. But that's not who the Sharks thought they were signing when they kept him for 3 years. So these are two really bad things to start off the season, dude. Not good. You know, they can spin it how they want. Well, this will open up another opportunity for some young player to come in and, you know, can't wait to see Uriah Hayes out there for 70 games.
Dude, is there any positive to either of these recent developments?
The positive may be that Joe Thornton may actually accept a trade.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And because I mean, I don't think he deserves to be treated like crap. I do stand by my feeling that nothing is going to change in San Jose as long as he is here. I don't think anything will change. The way the team plays, it won't change. And the attitude in the locker room, it won't change. I mean, you can give the C to somebody else, but as long as his presence is there, you know, if there was a fracture in the locker room between the young guys and the veterans, you think that that's going to change because someone else is wearing the C? Joe's boys are still going to be Joe's boys.
Right.
So that's not going to change. It's not going to change. It might actually be worse. I mean, couldn't this make it worse?
Oh, sure. I remember reading a book once about neurosurgery, and one of the rules of neurosurgery is you can always get worse. You can always make it worse when you open up somebody's head. And that's what the Sharks are doing right now. They're opening up the head. They're cracking open the skull of the Sharks, and they're tinkering around in there, and you could always, always make it worse.
Well, I mean, as we're floating conspiracy theories, I suppose, dude, do you think it's possible that the Sharks did this on purpose?
Oh yeah. I think it's possible, and which is another very sort of interesting and surprising development, if true, is that the Sharks certainly, I think we talked about it either last week or the week before, the Sharks don't have any history of providing or starting any sort of PR war, the kind of war that we saw when Danny Heatley was in Ottawa, requested to be traded. That information was leaked to the media by the general manager, and they succeeded in making Danny Heatley the villain. You know, I think that it's possible. I don't, you know, given sort of the backtracking of Todd McClellan and sort of this weird sort of fumbling about of this news, this doesn't sound like it's deliberate, although it'd be pretty Machiavellian if it were. But I think it's certainly not out of the question that the Sharks are interested in trying to put some pressure on Joe Thornton, which leads me to maybe the one tiny, tiny silver lining in this whole thing, which I thought of today when I was thinking about this news and what we might talk about today. And you sort of hinted on it. You know, one possibility is it might make Joe Thornton more interested in accepting a trade to another team. But I think one of the things that, you know, Doug Wilson sort of said before is, you know, sort of akin to we want our players to want to play here, not just live here. I'm not so certain that making these guys a little on edge going into training camp is necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
These guys are a little bit pissed off. They're a little bit unsettled. They're a little bit nervous. They don't quite know what's going on. I'm not so certain that's 100% bad for the Sharks.
And in terms of Joe Thornton specifically, dude, we've seen the best Joe is Angry Joe.
That's right. That did occur to me. Is this going to be Angry Joe, but now his anger is going to be pointed at...
They are trying to take the stick and provoke the bear. And that, and maybe if that's true, then this, it could be brilliant. It could be brilliant. But I tend to think that they just screwed it up.
I tend to agree with you. It'd be interesting to see how this turns out, dude. And now the hopefully mercifully short reaction to the reaction. It seems like a lot of the Twitter sphere and blogs and so forth, you know, is the Sharks are losing their minds. The Sharks are dropping the ball. The Sharks are, you know, completely destroying themselves, self-immolating and all that. We were kind of resistant to that earlier in the summertime when it seemed like there was a plan that was being followed. Are you more sympathetic to the Sharks are losing their mind idea at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm certainly frustrated by what's going on. I think when we both thought there was a plan, you're right, dude, it was easier to digest, but with the events unfolding as they are, with the lack of additions to the team, you know, while they kept the core together, I mean, basically they're just purging themselves of three veteran players without adding any new talent, and then saying they're going to turn it over to the youth without turning it over to the youth. I mean, it's just, dude, yeah, I don't even know what to say. I'm pretty frustrated.
Dude, let's go to an email. And Matt wrote this before, of course, the news of the last couple days. But he says, since there's little Sharks off-season news to discuss, why don't we spend some time this week on a less depressing subject like the devolving situation in Ferguson, Missouri? So why don't we switch to that for the moment? No, just kidding. Actually, he wanted to ask about Kevin Hayes, who was a young undrafted up-and-coming college player. That he thought might be the Sharks should want him. Although that story's already concluded, right? Kevin Hayes signed with the Rangers, didn't he?
I don't know. Yeah. I didn't see where he signed.
I think he's off the market, and I think he's joining DB22, the Rangers, shoring up the Rangers. Matt asks, is he better than some others have as a third, fourth line down the right side? I have no clue. Well, frankly, neither do we. I mean, the guy's undrafted. He's never played an NHL game. We've seen other college players that were highly touted all of a sudden after the college season was over, signed for a lot of money, guys like Matt Gilroy, I'm thinking of specifically, and fizzled out rather quickly. So it's almost impossible to accurately predict what's going to happen with Kevin Hayes. He's certainly going to be in a situation where there's plenty of talent around him. So I don't think he's going to be in a situation where he's going to have to come in and produce right away, which is probably one of the reasons why he chose to go to the Rangers, to be honest. If he was smart and he had good representation around him, they said, listen, why don't you go? There's a lot of good veteran players here. You got a chance to win a cup, obviously. The Rangers are probably one of the favorites in the East. Why don't you get in there and see if you can really start your career outright? If he came to the Sharks, for instance, his role might be a whole lot different depending on what happens. I mean, you know, we saw with Matt Nieto, you have a hell of a camp. Next thing you know, you're on the second line, you know?
Yeah, you're on the, you're the poster child for the team all of a sudden. You know, for undrafted college free agents, it's a crapshoot. You can get a Matt Gilroy, you can get a Danny DeKeyser. You know, you're not sure which way you're going. I think the frustrating thing is not necessarily not adding this player, but the Sharks' just inability to, if you're going to go in a rebuilding process, to add some fresh young talent to this roster instead of once again overvaluing your own players and stubbornly throwing them out there, you know, where I don't have any confidence in the AHL level talent that was unable to be productive in Worcester is going to come up and be productive here. Like, it just seems foolish to me. Like, how did you not go out and add some young players from other teams and trade veteran assets to get them? Like, they didn't do it. I would rather have seen them get a player for Brad Stewart than two picks. Now, maybe they couldn't, but yeah. I would have rather have seen that. Like, let's get some bodies in here now instead of bodies in here in 3 years or 4 years down the road. I don't know, dude. It's just, it's pretty confusing. There's going to be a lot of roster spots up for grabs, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of young talent in position to fill them.
Right.
You know?
I'm not as upset about that as you are. I'm certainly more upset about the Sharks' willingness to sign Mike Brown. And the other fighter,
but
I can't.
They kind of go hand, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know, that the moves that they have made, the contracts they've issued in the offseason to Brown, Hannon, and John Scott is just makes you want to bang your head against the wall.
Right.
Like,
I see that as much worse.
You're adding three players who are not going to make your team better when you could have, if you want to turn it over to the kids, then turn it over to the kids. Instead, you've got three dinosaurs hanging around, you know, taking roster spots, and, you know, you're not figuring out what you have. But I think we know what they have in some of these bottom line players that they have in Worcester, which is not much.
Unfortunately, the truth, dude. This is really getting good. This podcast really getting happy now.
Yeah.
Dude, let's go to Paul, who's living in New Zealand, who was formerly Paul in Seoul, Korea, Paul from New York, and Paul from Fremont. Paul following us around the world. Paul comes up with a big August email for us. He has some,
we love it.
He has some fun mid-August speculative conversation, which, as Paul no doubt knows, is our bread and butter. So he has some true or false questions for us, dude. Let's go down the list here. Number one, if Couture stays healthy, he scores more than 30 goals this year. True or false?
True.
I say true on that, too. Number two, if Hurdle stays healthy, he scores more than 25 goals this year.
True.
I'm going false on that one. I think everyone's going to know who this kid is now. He's not going to get a. He's not going to have the four goal performance against the backup goalie from the Rangers. Everyone's going to know this kid has talent, and they're not just going to let him skate around anymore.
I think he's going to be playing 40 minutes, though, dude.
He could be playing 40 minutes. He could be playing D and offense in the same game. All right, dude. Number three, Burns has a better year on defense than his first San Jose. Burns had a better year on defense than his first San Jose year on defense. True or false?
False?
I think I might go true on that. I mean, he's going to get all the choice minutes. The guy's going to be on the top unit power play. He's going to probably play with better. Actually, did he play with Vlasic his first year? I'm trying to remember.
I think he's going to be a train wreck for the first quarter of the season. He's going to be a train wreck. He hasn't played back there in 2 years. And he struggled when he was playing defense here his entire NHL career when he came over. He didn't look like what we thought we were getting. I'm not saying he's not going to figure it out. I just think this year might be kind of a train wreck.
It might be sort of a one-off throwaway.
I think he was playing with Vlasic, wasn't he?
I think he was.
And he still, I mean, it was like the car was in the garage. Like he wasn't as advertised at all. Remember, he was like not physical, not taking penalties. I mean, he felt a lot of pressure. I mean, how much pressure is he going to feel now? I mean, he's the clear number one.
Yeah.
He didn't do well with that last time when he was like the number three.
But he did great as the number one in Minnesota. That's why the Sharks traded for him.
And, well, you know, maybe being out of the shadow of DB22 will release the stallion. I'm still sticking with false. I'm having low expectations for Burns.
All right. Number four, Joe Thornton wears the C on his chest on opening night.
True.
They're going to give it back to him. Just kidding. We're not rebuilding anymore. Joe is the captain again. Okay.
Wait, Wait, you didn't see, he didn't say for the Sharks.
That's true. That's true. He didn't say that.
No, of course it's false, dude. It's false.
Of course it's false. Number five, Marlow is still the fastest shark.
False.
Who's faster?
Desjardins.
John Scott's faster.
I mean, God, it's so hard to tell. Like, I mean, Matt Nieto's pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm still going to go with Patty on this one. I still think that's true. Well, assuming he's still a shark, right? Says he's still the fastest shark. All right, dude. Number six, Niemi gets traded midseason. True or false?
I'm going to say true.
True on Niemi getting traded. See, to me, that actually shows some faith in the management. I have less faith at this point. I think the management's going to do the safe play, keep the obvious number one goalie. They're not going to hand the keys to Stalock this quickly.
Well, that's another huge mistake if they do that, because, you know, I think Niemi still has some value. I don't imagine that they have any intent on giving him a $4.5 million, $5 million contract, which is what he's going to command. It's at least what Jonas Hiller got.
Right.
He's going to get on the market, and the Sharks should not and will not give that to him if this is the direction that they're going. So you've got to get something for him. But the problem is you never are able to get Jack for these goalies at the deadline anyways. You're not going to get what you get for Ryan Miller.
No.
So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's a no, but I'm going to say yes. They're going to do something right.
I hope you're right. Number seven, Matt Nieto suffers a sophomore slump and struggles to stay in the lineup.
False.
See, I'm gonna go with the technicality. I think he's going to suffer a sophomore slump, but I don't think he's going to struggle to stay in the lineup, because who the hell are they going to put in instead of him? So I say that's false only because the second part of the statement is not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think he had as wildly like huge a breakout year as like Hurdle did. I mean, he had a good year, but he didn't have like a Calder type year. I think he's going to be getting more minutes. I think he'll score 15 goals. He'll be around.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. He didn't have just an amazing year that's going to be hard to live up to. That's
right.
True. Okay, number eight, a first-round win and second-round defeat would be considered a quote-unquote successful season this year.
True.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think making the play, depending on where this team is at in the deadline, I think making the playoffs might be considered a successful season, which is going to be a hard pill to swallow for a lot of fans.
How they could spin in any other way, you know? I mean, unless there's some changes made to the roster mid-season that makes the team better today, I mean, they don't seem to be interested in making the team better today, right?
That's 100% true.
I mean, they've even come out and said as much before they started tap dancing backwards and in circles. I mean, that they said they're a tomorrow team.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
So tomorrow means wins tomorrow, not today. And unless something happens and there's injuries and the Sharks have an about face and Angry Joe comes to town and scores 100 points, like, they're not going to beat the Ducks and they're not going to beat the Kings in the playoffs. Like, it's not going to happen.
No, not at all.
This is how I feel now. We'll see. Of course, they're going to prove us wrong and be world beaters, right?
Right. Yeah, they're going to win that. They're going to win the President's Trophy. All right, number nine, Goldobin makes his debut as a San Jose Shark this year. I'm assuming
false.
He means this season. But
yeah. False.
I think that's false as well. I don't think he's going to come in. I don't think there's going to be enough room in the top of the lineup, and this is not a guy you want to play in third and fourth line minutes.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you can't give him 15 minutes a night, it's the same like with Nieto last year. If you're not going to have room for him to play, then have him play full minutes somewhere else. You know, not playing 8 minutes with John Scott. I mean, that's a waste of time.
Yep. All right, dude, number 10 and last. In the hierarchy of the Pacific, the Sharks are closer to Vancouver than they are to Anaheim.
True.
That's absolutely true. They might be closer to Phoenix than they are to Vancouver.
Oh,
man. Yeah. Dude, great stuff from Paul. Thanks, Paul.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, Vancouver is a very interesting situation where, you know, they have a new team. They might have a little bit of a good time feeling there, being out from underneath the specter of Tortorella,
mm-hmm.
whereas the Sharks are, you know, August Osage County over here. And it's almost, you know, like the roles are reversed. Like, we've seen how dysfunctional Vancouver was. Is that the Sharks this year?
Oh, it could be. Very much so. Yeah, it could get damn near, damn unpleasant.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, yeah. Good times.
We're painting a real sunny picture here. We're not even in training camp.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be interesting. I got to be honest. This is going to be an interesting year. I mean, the Sharks have really taken a different tack than we've seen the last few years. I'm certainly not optimistic that it's really going to pay off, but we're certainly going to see something different, I think. One way or another, we're going to see something different. We're not going to see what we saw last year. That's for certain.
No, you know, I think we've said it so many times already that I think a lot of us, a lot of fans, us included, we were okay with going through some form of rebuild, but that doesn't appear to be happening right now, although they seem to be trying to destroy everything. They're not really rebuilding. So
right.
Destroy away, dude. Destroy. Ruin relationships and become dysfunctional.
Good times. Dude, you going to pay 350 bones for a ticket to the outdoor game this year?
No.
Why am I tempted to do that? I've bagged on that. I said the sight lines are terrible. You can't see the game. And here I am honestly thinking about paying a ridiculous amount of money to go to the new Levi's Stadium where I can't get on the light rail and they're out of hot dogs. And I'm going to go. I think I'm going to
go. Yeah, I don't think I'm going.
All right, dude.
I don't think I'm going. You know, I think it's a great event and that it will sell out and that I'm sure people who go will have a lot of fun. I just, I'm having a hard time. And honestly, dude, I think if this team had made the Western Conference Finals and everything was the same as it normally is going into the season, you know what? I probably would pay it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where this team's going to be in February. I mean, are we going to be looking at a team that's 20 points behind the Kings and, you know, barely has a pulse and has already traded Joe and has already traded Niemi, and, like, you're going to be watching, you know, Freddie Hamilton go head-to-head with Kopitar in the outdoor game?
Yeah,
and you will have $350 to watch that?
Yeah.
I don't think I can do it. You know, which, you know, we haven't even talked about this. Do you think that because the Sharks have the outdoor game, they're going to feel compelled to hang on to all these players?
No. Who cares? It's one game. It's already sold out almost, I think. I think we talked to our ticket rep and they said almost all the tiers are sold out except for, like, the most expensive tier. So,
well,
I mean, if they already sold out the game, there's no reason to hold on to the players. The money's already in the bank.
Good luck to you. Enjoy.
I will. I look forward to the Freddie Hamilton Kopitar matchup.
I'll be watching on TV.
Yeah. Drew Doughty versus Matt Irwin.
Yeah.
Can't wait. All right, dude. Well, I guess we'll try to come up with something optimistic to talk about next week, but no promises. Oh, Spurs won, dude. Spurs won.
Spurs won in the closing seconds, dude. Eric Dyer.
Yeah. Good goal from a new player.
They won their first Europa League game.
I saw that. They might actually try and win a trophy this year.
Dude, someone's going to win a trophy. We'll have a trophy.
Yeah, you already won the Vegas Cup, dude. We don't need to rub this in anymore, do we?
I've won the Vegas Cup 3 years in a row, dude.
Okay, so you do need to rub it in. Understood.
That drop's coming up. I can't wait to do it live on the air and bore the listeners.
Yeah. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to record it, and then I'll play it like 5 times the speed. So I'll sound like chipmunks talking to each other. So it only takes about 15 or 20 seconds.
Very good.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.